Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. This morning I wanted to go over a topic that's been on my mind a lot recently, the last few months, the topic of abortion, but especially on God's strategy for ending abortion, the biblical way to do it. And I want to talk about a little bit about some of the problems with the mainstream pro-life movement, because there are issues there with the way it's been done for the last four decades or so. And obviously it hasn't worked either in the last 40-some years. So I want to go over that, but I want you to keep that in mind as I read this text, and we'll kind of pull some application from it. So the text again is Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." So like I said, we're going to use this passage to talk about the issue of abortion in our country today, and really to offer a critique of the mainline pro-life movement. There's a number of issues that I want to take up with the mainline pro-life movement that are sinful, the way that they go about dealing with the issue of abortion. So obviously, being pro-life, you would think that the end goal of pro-life movement is to end abortion. Even that is sometimes called into question by the mainline pro-life movement, surprisingly. But I'm going to go through a few main things today. I'll give you the outline, and then we'll go through it point by point. But the first point I have is that we're not going to be neutral about engaging with those who are pro-abortion. So no neutrality when it comes to engaging with abortionists. Secondly, we need to call it murder. That's the second thing. It needs to be called what it is, murder. Thirdly, we need to reject an incremental approach to ending abortion. And I'll explain what that means a little more. And if I have time at the end, I'm going to go through kind of answering some of the common objections from pro-choice or pro-abortion people that you can engage with if you come across people like that, which I hope that you do. All right, so first off, like I said, the first point is that we cannot be neutral when it comes to engaging the abortion issue. So as we saw in this text, this is a very Christian approach to dealing with evil, obviously. Paul's approach here, the person who is taking up this armor of God, these are things that are only, they're unique to a Christian. If you look at some of the things here, the belt of truth, okay, that is, Christians only have truth. The breastplate of righteousness, righteousness belongs only to Christians. Shoes for your feet, you have the readiness given by the gospel, okay, the gospel. Shield of faith. Only Christians have true faith. The helmet of salvation. Only Christians have salvation. Okay? Yeah, the sword of the Spirit. Only Christians are able to use the Word of God properly. And I want you to notice the only weapon that we have in this text is the Bible. So when I say no neutrality, this is what you get from the mainline pro-life movement is, we don't want to bring Jesus into this. This is a quote from them. You don't have to bring religion into this conversation to end abortion. So you don't have to bring religion into the conversation as the argument, which is patently false. This is a explicitly religious issue. It's a moral issue. And there is no way to deal with abortion apart from religion, first off. There is no neutrality in reality, but we can't pretend to be neutral. How is it that we can end evil? We can't end evil without a spiritual transformation. And people will always be for murder unless they are regenerated. They're going to be for sin, in other words, unless they're born again. And how are people born again? By means of the gospel. You can't pretend to be neutral. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. As a matter of fact, you're going to talk to people about this issue, which is literally a life and death issue. You got to be a Christian about it. Okay, so the gospel is how we end evil. It's how people are changed from being pro-murder to being anti-murder. Okay, and we all of us who've been born again know our mindsets on sin did a total 180 when we're born again, and that's the only way that this can ultimately end. If abortion is going to be made illegal, it's going to be through people's hearts being changed by the gospel. That's a fact. Secondly, under this neutrality category here, a big thing about the pro-life movement, the mainline one, is that it's predominantly led by Roman Catholics. It's predominantly Roman Catholic. Some people have called, there's the March for Life in Washington, D.C. Some people have called that Catholic Woodstock because there are so many, just like Catholic high schools going to field trips, just thousands and thousands of Roman Catholics. But as I just noted, they don't have the gospel, so they're unable to deal with this issue. They're unable to actually end this issue because they don't have all this, the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit. They don't have it. So for what does that mean for us is that it's very unpopular, and Patrick would tell you if he's in here. I don't think he's in here right now. But in his experience, too, you will get chastised for separating from Roman Catholics in a pro-life effort, but you have to. You cannot join forces with Roman Catholics on this issue. What do they do? They're idolaters, and oftentimes, it's not always the case, but you'll have Roman Catholics just standing outside of abortion mills with their rosaries and committing acts of idolatry, and that's all they do. You cannot be with them on that. Earlier in Ephesians 5, 6 through 10, listen to this text. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them." With who? The sons of disobedience. Verse 8, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." Okay, so partnering with unbelievers in this effort is not only futile, but it's sinful. Again, if you're going to be partnering with unbelievers, they don't have the gospel and you do, you're going to be forced into neutrality or into some other non-Christian way of dealing with this. The only way to end abortion is to do it consistently in a Christian fashion, which is the purpose of us studying this morning, is to do it in a consistently Christian fashion. And we'll get into that a little bit more. So you cannot fight abortion with anybody of another religion. Predominantly, that's probably going to be Roman Catholics most often, but anyone else who does not have the gospel. There are atheists who are pro-life. You cannot go and on the same platform try to end abortion with them. Because they don't have, again, they don't have all the stuff in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. They have none of it. And will not be able to be against it. And they're not against murder for the same reasons you are. In fact, the atheist has no basis for being against murder. But you do, because you're a Christian. He has no foundation for it. Okay? Thirdly, under no neutrality, we can't be neutral, is that the Great Commission involves discipling people so that they don't support murder. That's part of it. The Great Commission, of course, we know is baptizing the nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Remember, the second part, though, is that in teaching them to observe all that Christ has commanded. That's the entirety of Scripture. So we've got to remember that when we're discipling people, that's how this type of evil will end. This goes for any big sinful cultural issue in our day, and whether it be the perversion of marriage or the perversion of gender or whatever it may be. The only way that's going to be done away with is through Christianity, not through pretended neutrality or pretended neutral arguments. It's got to be through the power of the gospel. The way to end spiritual evil is through the power of the gospel. It's the only way. So the Great Commission is part of it. So again, we're approaching the abortionists and the pro-abortion people with the gospel. That's the main issue. If you're going to engage with people outside of abortion mills, the only way you do that is by engaging them with the gospel. That's number one priority with this. You want to try to, if it's a woman going in there, you want to try to save the baby and then also present the gospel to her and anybody who's supporting. We have a abortion mill over in Bristol, Tennessee, and there are people out there on both sides of this issue. There's some people who are supporting abortion and less who are against it. I don't know what all the people who are pro-life over there, what they all believe, but I know there's a pretty big support of it from people. If you see people on the side of the road there in pink t-shirts and pink signs, they're the pro-abortion people. Those people need the gospel. It's a rich mission field right there. You've got a number of people who are blatantly supporting murder, and they need the gospel. The only way that we can not hate those people is by giving them the gospel. And they're very evil people, but they need the gospel to be saved. Anybody can be saved. Another reason why we can't be neutral, and this is vitally important, you need to realize that the argument these days for abortion is shifting from, it's not a baby in there, that was the old argument, to, I know it's a baby, I have the right to take its life. You got to realize that and come to grips with this is a fact. You can find articles or find people saying that blatantly. They're no longer, the people who have been involved in the pro-abortion movement for a number of years will no longer say, it's not a human life in there. They're just going to say, we know it is. Who cares? How do you deal with that from a neutral standpoint? You can't do it. You can argue for it as a human life, and you can prove that 1,000%. You can even convince somebody, but it won't change their heart on this issue. You know why? They already know. They already know it's a baby, and they always have. Even before ultrasounds were a big thing, they knew that, and they continue to know now. We know that because that's what they know that from the light of nature, but they also know because of their inconsistencies. They will call it a potential human life. That's Roe v. Wade language. Potential human life is a clump of cells. But then their friend has a miscarriage, and they are consoling them. Why? It's just a lump of cells, right? No. At that point, it's a baby because the mother wanted that. See that inconsistency? It's not logically consistent. But they've always known it. So the reason that you can't engage this issue from a neutral standpoint, we just got to show them that it's a human life. Get them ultrasounds. Show them these things. Won't necessarily do it. Now, I will say this, to be fair. That has saved a lot of babies. Some mothers who have a stronger conscience will turn away, which is excellent. So I'm not against that. I'm just saying you got to bring the gospel to it. You can't remain in the neutral category trying to be. You got to bring the gospel to the issue because it will not be effective in all cases unless you bring the gospel to it. That's the only way you can consistently deal with it. So the gospel, again, is the only way to change that mindset of I have the right to take my child's life. I read articles a few years ago, and I think it's become more popular since then, probably 4 or 5 years ago, where it says, a pro-abortion person said, stop saying it's not a baby. We know it is. Nothing changes between before it's born and after. It's the same thing. Just the life of the mother is more important. And that was the argument, and that was the end of it for them. So we need to have gospel truth, God's law, brought to light on them to expose, like I said in Ephesians 5, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. You got to show them these things. If you're taking a human life, you're committing murder. Okay. And then finally, for the no neutrality, and this is important, because you're not going to take a neutral stance, because you're saying I'm a Christian and I'm against abortion because of God's law, you have to be prepared for a full-fledged apologetic argument with people on this issue. It can't just be, I'm going to prove to you it's a life from a neutral standpoint, because that may not matter to them. You need to be able to be ready to do apologetics so much that you're convincing them that God is real, that God of the Scripture is real, and that He holds you accountable, and you must repent and believe the gospel to be saved. That's full-on presuppositional apologetics. We need to be on studying that, keeping up on that, so we're always prepared. Because again, you may be bringing this gospel message to people who are atheists, who are pro-abortion. You've got to be able to bring the gospel to them, and you've got to be able to do apologetics to do it. Right, so because the worldview that pro-abortion people have, all these people have, is it's a culture of death worldview. And the only way that you can change that worldview is through the gospel. God can change that worldview, so you've got to be able to do apologetics. So that's point number one. One issue with the pro-life movement, mainline pro-life movement, is because it attempts neutrality, and it's been a total failure because of that. God's not going to bless idolatry. He just won't do it. And neutrality is idolatry. Roman Catholicism, which is the predominant religion in the pro-life movement, is also idolatry. They do not bring the gospel to it. When God ends abortion, he is going to get his glory for it and not going to give it to idolaters, I would say. So we've got to bring it, as consistent Christians, bring the gospel to this issue. All right, secondly, we have to call it murder. This was a big surprise to me when looking into the pro-life movement, the number of pro-life people who will not call it murder. They refuse to call it murder. And they like to use the euphemisms that the pro-choice people do. And it's weird, terminating a pregnancy or emptying the womb. And it's surprising to me. But some of the reasons that they do that is they say, I've known so many women who have had abortions. I just can't call them murderers. Okay? Irrelevant. That's just the facts. Or some of us based in Roman Catholic theology, that would be a mortal sin. I can't say that about my Catholic sisters or whatever. That's an argument too. They avoid calling it murder. They don't want to call it murder. And then therefore, they don't want to legislate against it, calling it murder, which is a problem I'll get to in the next section. Another thing that they'll do when you don't call it murder, and this is from Protestants, I've heard it a number of times, they will say the babies are victims, the mommies are victims, and the daddies are victims. Because they'll play a video or a sound bite of a dad talking about how he regretted choosing to abort his child. And we sympathize and we hear that. But the issue is, thinking consistently, mothers and fathers who kill their children are not victims, they're perpetrators of murder. And it's a very serious sin to call them victims when they murdered their child. Do we really believe that that's a child in there? Then we got to be consistent about it. Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both an abomination to the Lord. You can't just say that mommies and daddies who kill their children are victims. Because, again, inconsistency. Say a baby's born and 3 weeks later the mom drowns the child. Is she a victim? No. How about 6 weeks before that she kills the child? Is she a victim? No. She might regret it. Yes. That's not consistent to say, well, a murderer, he killed 20 people, but he's really a victim because he feels really bad about it now and it haunts his dreams, you know. That's a really big problem to say that. And I know that, you know, you want to be sympathetic, but we got to bring the gospel to mothers who are in depression, who have already committed murder against their children. Gospel needs to be brought there too. And of course, the abortion doctors are also perpetrators, no doubt about that. I think most people agree on that, even in the mainline pro-life movement. But they'll say stuff like, yeah, it's taking a human life, but it's not murder. So you see, it's a very strange, weird massaging of the language. But we need to call it what it is. We can't sugarcoat this. God will not allow that in his word to say, here's a murder, a really gruesome murder. Even before, obviously, this became a main legalized thing, even John Calvin, way back when, commenting on a text, said, how atrocious is it that somebody would kill a child in the womb, which is the safest place on earth? He says to that effect, I'm paraphrasing. And even that, you know, hundreds of years ago said that, and that remains true to this day. And then, again, we have to call it murder, and this is really important, too. Again, since the goal is to end abortion, to abolish it. We could call ourselves abolitionists of abortion. You have to call it murder in order to legislate against it. Because here's the thing, when the pro-life movement says, it's not murder, it's just blah, 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 then the legislators say, well, then it's just your personal preference. Because there's no moral ground to oppose it. It's like me saying, I think we shouldn't have strawberry ice cream. They say, well, we should make it illegal. And I said, yeah. And they said, well, that's just your personal opinion. It's not like a big deal. Well, when we say, well, abortion should be illegal. And they say, why? Well, we don't like it. We think it's icky. And they say, big deal. But when we say, no, it's murder. And we know that murder should be illegal. It is illegal, right? And they say, well, yeah, murder is illegal. I say, well, this is murder too. So they actually have a moral basis to legislate against it, not just personal preference. And that's the problem. When you don't call it murder, it sounds to legislators like it's just a personal preference. They just don't, it's not big on that, but it's not really a issue that should be brought to the civil courts. And when in fact it is, and there should be prosecution. And then finally, too, in that line of thinking, consistently, like I said, if we're going to call it murder, and everybody who is involved in the murder of the child is guilty of murder, mothers, fathers, doctors, whatever, all need to be prosecuted for a murder. And that's the way that this would end, is to make it illegal that you would be brought up in first degree murder charges. That's important. Because this is an issue that the civil magistrate needs to deal with, obviously. It's murder. He does not bear the sword in vain, especially against murder, of course. So we have to be able to call it murder and then say everybody who's doing it needs to be prosecuted. Because there are a large number of people who say doctors should lose their licenses. The mothers shouldn't even be prosecuted at all. Both of those are way off base. This is murder here. It's murder we're talking about. Doctors should be prosecuted for murder. Mothers prosecuted for murder. Fathers who approve of it. Who are involved in that, prosecuted for murder. All of them, because it's murder. Like I said, what if they did that to a 3-month-old? A mother says, I'm going to hire somebody to kill my child. And the guy does it. He is a paid assassin. That's what's going on here. Okay, so he needs to be prosecuted as murder. Okay, third section. That's a no incrementalism was the third thing. We have to avoid, the pro-life movement is very heavy into incremental approach to legislating against abortion. We've got to remember a few things here. Supreme Court decisions are not laws. I think this is something that we've just kind of forgotten. Roe v. Wade is a Supreme Court decision. It's not a law. Who makes laws in our country?
Legislators.
Yeah, Congress, yeah. So a Supreme Court decision maybe doesn't have a bearing on what we do in our state. It ought not to. It does, sadly, but it doesn't need to. What's happened, though, because it's been accepted as laws by states that we have to legalize it, there are states who have laws against abortion. And then, in fact, there are states who still have laws against abortion. They just don't do anything about it. But the pro-life legislation, by doing an incremental approach, I mean by that is they're not going out and saying, we need to call it murder and everybody needs to be prosecuted. Like I just said, they're saying, we need to make abortion illegal after 20 weeks. Okay,
like
so
heartbeat
bill, whatever. Now, I will qualify that. The heartbeat bill is, we should reject it as a goal. Okay, that's not what we're going for. Am I glad that there's stuff like that? Sure, it has saved lives. It has saved lives. But that cannot be our goal to say, okay, you can murder your kid as long as he's this young. As long as he's this old, rather. If he's this young, you can't do it. If he's 20 weeks or younger, you can do it, but not after. That is not okay. An incremental approach is regulating murder. We don't regulate murder. That's not the right approach. We don't regulate it. That can include heartbeat bills. That can include even silly stuff like you got to have your abortion mills have to have halls this wide. This is what the pro-life movement's putting their efforts into. Make sure your halls are wide enough. Make sure you have a waiting area. Make sure this and that. That's not our goal here. Our goal is to go straight up and say this is murder and we need to prosecute it as murder. That's the consistent biblical approach. And what the pro-life movement has done, sadly, by putting these laws on the books, is they've actually made abortion legal in some states. Like I said, Supreme Court decisions are not law. So you have states who had laws against abortion, but now they have laws that say you can't do abortion after 20 weeks, which also says you can do it before 20 weeks. Because of their laws, sadly, the pro-life laws, abortion has become legal in some states. But then you raise the question, well, what are you supposed to do? The federal government is, you know, the Supreme Court decisions are saying we can't do it. Well, ultimately, states just need to tell them to go away, federal government. Have states done that about other laws, like marijuana or immigration laws recently? These types of things where states say, we don't care what you say, federal government, we're going to do our own thing. But we won't do it on bigger issues than those issues with murder. We won't do it. We have to do that. And there are bills. There are good guys who are writing bills saying, okay, everything I just said has got to be murder and everything, and they say, and our state will not become a party to any federal courts. That they say, we're going to court, we won't show up. That's part of the bill. So many things. But sadly, what they have to write into these bills is it has to do away with all pro-life legislation first, because that legalizes abortion in some states, and then they have to say it's completely murder from conception all the way out. So then, you know, from there on out, it'd be murder if you took that person's life. That's very important. So again, the goal is to abolish abortion, not to regulate murder. Yeah.
Yeah, we're
almost done, but you can go ahead.
At a local level, and I've contemplated this after seeing some gentlemen, if I'm not mistaken, that they did in New York and I think in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Does our church have responsibility, since there's an abortion clinic in Sullivan County, to petition the county commission? This is at a local level. To call it what it is, murder, if that's a resolution, or if it's just to make abortion illegal in Sullivan County. But do you think we as a church, that's our responsibility?
Oh, yeah. 1,000% yes. I think Christians need to stand up for the lives of people who are being killed. Yeah, absolutely. We have the one in Bristol, Tennessee. I think that we should be commissioning the magistrates who are over that to shut that down. Absolutely. I don't see how we could say we shouldn't when there are kids being killed there every week. And people are honking twice outside saying, supporting it, you know, and there are people and their with their signs and stuff supporting it. This needs to be, so if you go in front of the civil magistrates, you bring the gospel to it, you bring these arguments to it, it's murder and these things, and you say God has declared it murder, and let him use the power of his word to change hearts. It's the only way it's going to happen. Again, we can't ignore the fact that this neutral, incremental approach has been going on for 40-some years, and it's done nothing, really. Nothing. It hasn't ended abortion. It's done some things, to be fair, but it hasn't ended it. So when the pro-life movement is celebrating, this is fact, they celebrate, I think last year, only 1 million babies were killed this year. That's not a victory by any stretch of the imagination. 1 million? Only 1 million? That's absurd. I'd say absolutely. We need to be going and finding out who's in charge of these things and talking to them as much as we can. I'd say that 1,000%, yeah.
I think the huge obstacle that makes civil magistrate so gutless is it all comes back to their funding. Like our state.
Yeah.
The state of Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, they're depending on over 50% of their budget comes from the federal government. Mm-hmm. And local budgets are, they're scared.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And it's really sad. And over in Sullivan County, like even 50% of your taxes are here goes to the government schools.
Right.
So anyway, it's all tied together.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I think, again, the only way, because of that, the fact, the only way that men will be emboldened enough to actually not care about that is if they have a conviction of it, really, from God. Because somebody doesn't care about their paycheck or their the other things that they need to fund for the sake of people's lives, that takes a real strong conviction of selflessness that likely only comes from the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So, I'm not going to be able to get to the refuting the arguments because we're running out of time here. But I do have one more little point here under the incrementalism is that God has given legal rights to the unborn in the Bible. This is an important text, I think. This is the text that actually that Calvin was commenting on that I mentioned earlier. Exodus 21:22-25. It doesn't deal exactly with abortion, but it does by implication. It says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then he shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. That's what Calvin was saying, is that how horrible it is to have a child die and be hurt while they're in the womb. It's supposed to be the safest place, supposed to be a sanctuary. But basically the scenario is two guys are fighting and they're getting in a scrap and then one of them hits a pregnant woman. And in the case where it kills the child, it says life for life. So he gives legal rights to unborn. God, I'm sure we've, you know, Patrick has done things on this before, showing scriptures where it's certainly a human life. I mean, we can think of stuff off the top of your head. The fact that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit, human being, he was leaping in the womb. Jesus, as the unborn, clearly, John the Baptist is unborn, recognized Jesus, an unborn Jesus in the womb. And David recognizes himself as saved from the womb in Psalm 22. Tons of texts you can go to. It's pretty obvious in Scripture that the unborn is a human being. This one is another good one. In fact, you have legal rights here from God himself saying that killing that person has legal penalties with it in his mind. So, again, I have a few things on the pro-choice and answering their arguments, but if you want to ask me about them, I can tell you what they are. I had four of them. But as we run out of time, is there any questions? We have a few minutes. Any questions about anything? This may be new to some. I'm not sure. It was new to me a few months ago. So,
just a comment. I have posted up ways to share on Facebook. But you can go to End Abortion Now,
yeah.
Type in your name and where you live, and they will send out an automated thing to all of your legislators and will say that we demand abortion be ended, we elect you, and if you're not going to support this, then we're not going to support you. And it automatically sends them out to all of them. You know, it's
yes.
Just filling your name, where you live, and they do the rest. So.
Yeah, that's a good. End Abortion Now is in support of everything that I just said. Good stuff. EndAbortionNow.com is in support of that. And yes, they have that nice tool. It deals with what Travis is saying too, is that it goes directly to the people who are in charge of that type of decision in our area. A pre-made letter that's, you know, good and to the point. And the more support that you can give to these guys, it might embolden them more to think about these things. If they feel like they don't have support from the people, it's unlikely they'll do anything about it. So that's another way to help out too. But good point. End Abortion Now. These are good guys. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Okay. If not, then I'll go ahead and close in prayer here.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We praise you for the gospel. We thank you for loving us and saving us. Lord, we pray that we pray for the end of abortion in our country and in the world. And we pray that you will put it on our hearts to pray for this to end, to pray for the legislators and for mothers who are contemplating murdering their children, and pray that you will change hearts and minds, that you'll regenerate people, and pray that you'll make us bold and unafraid to deal with this issue. I know that we will be abused because of our position on abortion. People call us intolerant or bigots and stuff, but we need to, we pray that you will embolden us to stand firm as consistent Christians in every area of our life, and to take up your sword of the Spirit here, your word, against their arguments and their opinions raised against you. We just pray that you will convict hearts and end abortion, make it illegal, make it murder in our country. We pray that you will embolden individual states to make it illegal in their states, pray that you'll make sanctuary cities for the unborn, that you will make it illegal even in local places would be just fantastic, and we pray that you'll make that happen. And Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. We pray for Eric as he preaches this morning. We pray that you will give him clarity of speech and thought, and that we will learn and be sanctified through your word. Lord, we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, and that we'll glorify you with our lives. We ask this for Christ's sake. Amen.